Hello and welcome to the Kill Gem podcast. I'm your host, Michael Mudoszewski. Stay tuned for your CPD code, which will be revealed within the episode. In this episode, we welcome back a regular contributor to the podcast, the Kill Gem head of technical, Dr. Matthew Davies, who is here to give us an update on the latest changes from the Campaign for Responsible Rodenticide Use UK. Matt, how are you doing?
Very well, thanks, Mike. Hope you're good too.
Excellent. Yeah, I'm not too bad, thank you. I do appreciate you coming on. I know you're busy, so I really appreciate you finding some time to have a chat with us today. So I guess without further ado, let's have a chat about crew. Didn't mean to rhyme it there.
Let's do it, Mike. Yeah, we've got a lot to cover and we'll make it interesting as well. So thanks for inviting me on. And I'll be wearing my Kill Gem hat today. So I'll give a Kill Gem perspective on the Crew UK changes, what it means for everybody out there that's listening.
Perfect. Fantastic. So I guess a good place to start is why did Crew decide to put sort of new strengthening measures in place? Why did they decide to make those changes?
It's a good place to start, isn't it? I think it always frames things nicely when we understand why we're doing it. Crew does meet with the government oversight group each year, puts together an annual report, and that lets government know about the progress of stewardship. And one of the measures of the success of stewardship, there are multiple measures. One of them is the level of anticoagulant rodenticide residues in barn owls. Now, to coin the phrase from the report and the Crew UK press releases, those residues have remained stubbornly static for a number of years. So a good number of these changes, the strengthening measures put in place, are to try and tackle that. And that's where we are.
Great, thank you for that. So tell us a little bit more about those strengthening measures.
Yeah, will do. I think with my Kill Gem training hat on, and in fact, for the guys that are listening that haven't come across me or Mike before, my name is Matt Davies. I'm the head of technical department at Kill Gem Chemicals, and we operate under Kill Gem training in terms of providing training courses. And I know Mike, but maybe not everybody does. So Mike's in the team as well. So starting with the training side of things, I'm going to be quite relaxed on this podcast. I'm going to fire a question back at Mike unexpectedly. Just thinking, Mike, of yourself and how the training requirements might impact you. What year did you get your level two?
Ooh, now you're testing me. I think that was around 2020.
Okay, yes. That's interesting then. Yeah, so that would have been the full RSPH level two award in pest management.
That's right, yeah.
Okay. So yeah, currently, at the time of recording of this podcast, we're in 2025. It's that first quarter of the year. So you're absolutely fine to purchase and use professional use rodenticides because you've got the right certificate there.
That's always good to know.
Yeah, you're legal. So we're saying it out loud, all live on air of a fashion that Mike's legal, so that's good news. The changes are really kicking in on the 1st of January 2026. And if you were to try and purchase rodenticides at the point of sale with that qualification, you'd actually need to prove... There are two mechanisms, actually, to prove that you're up to date.
Okay.
You could retake the rodenticide element of that, which would be go and do a one-day rodent course, one of the Crew UK approved ones that's on the training and certification website. But how would you feel about doing an exam again, Mike?
Not great.
Yeah, that's it. And that might be the feeling for some people. I'm going to hazard a guess. If you're not fancying retaking an exam to meet the requirements for 2026 to make sure you're within 5 years, your certificate needs to be within 5 years of that day, you're probably going to be more likely to go down the CPD route. Is that right?
I definitely would, yes.
Yeah. So you'll be a member of a CPD scheme at the minute.
Yeah.
I thought so. That's fine. So if you continue to stay on that CPD scheme, come the 1st of January 2026, make sure it's a Crew UK approved one. The details of those are on the website. You'll be okay. But there's some things that you need to watch out for and make sure that you do. Are you okay if I run through those now?
Absolutely, yeah, please do.
Yeah. So you're likely to be getting your usual 20 points to maintain your membership of your chosen CPD scheme.
That's right, yeah.
I'm not going to pressure on how many you've got this year so far. You might be there, you might be not, but it's still early days in the year. So what you'll definitely need to do this year and the following years as well is make sure you continue to collect your 20 CPD points, maintain your yearly membership of that CPD scheme.
Okay.
That's business as usual. You've been doing that for years, I imagine.
That's right, yeah.
I'll put you on the spot again. Roughly how many years have you been a member of a CPD scheme? Can you
remember? Coming up to 6 years now, I believe.
Yeah. That's a good length of time. So you're well in the groove of that. Just watch out for, to meet the Crew UK requirements, you'll need 3 of the 20 points to be related to Crew UK rodent control content.
I see, okay.
So 17 points is normal, top up to your full 20,
right,
with 3 of the points specifically related to the Crew UK rodent content. And yeah, we can sort of have a chat about how you can do that, really, if that's good for you.
Yeah, absolutely, please, yeah. Well, would you be able to get those 3 magic points?
There's good information on the Crew website that points people in the right direction. What they've done, they've released 3 presentations, which are PowerPoint presentations.
Okay.
Some of these were familiar to you and to me in our sort of day-to-day work at Kildrome, doing our rodent courses and refresher courses and so on. One of the presentations is on environmental risk assessments.
Okay.
Another one is on burrow baiting.
Right.
And then the other one, the third one, is on actually the strengthening measures that we're talking about.
Okay.
It goes into that extra level of detail.
Right.
Regarding the changes for training. And look out for events. I mean, you must have some events coming up, maybe some big industry events and things like that.
Yeah, definitely. There'll be a few events I'll be popping to over the next couple of weeks and months.
Yeah. So there might be certain speakers that deliver talks at those events that are based on the Crew presentations on the website.
Right.
What they're likely to do is to point that section of the event with the chosen CPD scheme. So you might go, somebody gives a talk on environmental risk assessments, borrowing from the Crew presentation, you'll pick up a point for that.
Perfect.
There might be some events that are all the talks together in one, so you get the full three points in one event. It'd be like a three-hour event.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm pretty sure you'll end up in the day job delivering some of those talks as well.
Yeah, I was thinking that as you were saying it, Matthew, yes.
Yeah. Good. So, yeah, that'll be one to look out for. We can expand on that soon as well.
Okay. So with that in mind, I'm just thinking of some of the listeners. Some of the guys could be, you know, driving in the van listening to this as we're talking about it. So they could potentially be getting pulled into the office at some point to get those very talks delivered to them by their bosses. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. And do you know what? That would be a really brilliant thing. I think my main aim in all of this, yes, Kildrome Training have got a huge role to play in terms of updating customers and listeners. But if guys are independently doing it within their own companies, that's fantastic. It's getting the word out. And, you know, technicians going into meetings with bosses that are qualified and competent, and they're giving the updates from the Crew website presentations. That's perfect. The message is getting out there. And the more that's done, the better for everybody, really.
Yeah, fantastic. And obviously that's quite an efficient way to get those very important 3 points for those companies without, you know, kind of integrated as part of the usual team meeting or whatever it might be. So that's always good.
Yeah, they could slot in there, no problem at all, definitely.
Amazing. So just for those who might be delivering those talks at any point, is it very strict and rigid as to the how those talks are delivered?
No, not at all. The presentations on the Crew UK website, they're freely available for anybody to download, so it isn't particularly strict in that respect.
Okay.
There shouldn't be barriers in place to that important knowledge and information, so it's out there for everybody.
Great.
Which is really handy. And I think you and I know what it's like when you sort of use slides that are pre-prepared. It's a bit difficult on a course sometimes. You always want to make it your own and sound a bit X Factor there, don't we? Make it your own. I would advise people to view those talks as like a syllabus.
Okay.
If you wanted to, you know, add some of your own images, I'd welcome people doing that, absolutely. I'll start to do that myself over time. There might be certain slides where I'm looking at, I think, you know, my style would be perhaps I'd talk about that bit at the beginning, that bit at the end. And, you know, if the flow changes, that's fine because the key messages are still there. You know, slightly changing some of the text is fine. Don't lose the meaning where it's from the crew code, you know, stick some crew code word in. But there's that flexibility there. Treat it like a syllabus, deliver the key information, but people can put their own, you know, stamp on it.
Amazing.
And yeah, great. The more images, the better. You know, we always like to punctuate things with practical stories, don't
we? Absolutely.
And show images of things that we've done and things that we've seen on site. So yeah, anything like that brings it to life, for sure.
Perfect. And I guess for those who will be delivering those talks, from your sort of personal view, would you recommend any specific qualifications, any certain level that they hold to be able to deliver those talks?
Yeah, I think it depends on what you're looking for. A huge number of our customers, experienced, really competent, enthusiastic, got all the right qualifications. You know, loads of these people that I know delivering those sort of talks, that's going to come across accurately and in the right way. I think if it's a formal training course, you sort of expect certain things from a tutor, don't you, the trainer? You know, it's okay to talk about sort of me and you and the wider Kildrome training team. We've got our level 3 qualifications in teaching, which is sort that's of right. What you want, really, isn't it? When it's a sort of a paid thing. And if it's me, I try and make sure perhaps I've got the qualification above the one that I'm teaching. Okay. Let's say if we're doing a level 2 course, I know we're veering off a bit from the crew information, then I feel a bit more comfortable knowing I've got my level 3 and other qualifications like that. It just sort of adds to the experience, really. And there's similar advice like that in the syllabus for the RSPH Level 2 Award in Pest Management. It has a section at the end,
right?
Recommendations for trainers that deliver that. So I think if people follow that, that's a good guide. And they make a really, really good point that experience can be a fantastic substitute for maybe not having certain qualifications. I mean, the one thing I will say, anybody delivering these talks, it would be a no-brainer to make sure you, as the deliverer of that, meets the crew UK requirements. You know, make sure you've got your up-to-date Rodent course or you're a member of a crew UK approved CPD scheme. I think that's like the one to go for.
Not unreasonable to expect that.
Not unreasonable at all. And I think, you know, all our listeners will be at that point. And that should work really well, in my opinion.
Yeah, perfect. Especially with the topics being, you know, nothing out of this world. It's sort of bread and butter of a day-to-day pest controller's life, environmental risk assessments, burrow baiting. As long as those delivering feel competent within that area, then that should be fine.
Yeah, I think so. But yeah, it can be more convenient, I suppose, while people are learning the way around it. You know, get yourself on a course, an event with familiar trainers that know the way around it. And you can always treat it like a train-the-trainer type experience, because, you know, you pick something up from a workshop and then go and deliver it back to the guys.
Absolutely.
Yeah, anything about getting the message out is the best approach. So I'm quite relaxed about that, really. Yep.
That's great. Okay, so thinking of somebody that's maybe newer to the industry that will have done their initial qualification this year, would you still recommend that they join a CPD scheme, even though I understand there's no requirement with regards to 2026? Would you still think it's a good idea to join a CPD scheme as a professional pest controller?
Yeah, definitely. It's a really good idea just in general. Yes, it will help future-proof somebody against Crew UK requirements as the years go by. And I think just generally it's a really good thing to do. You know, we're obviously very focused on the Rodent side of things and the Crew UK requirements, but CPD in general just means that you're nicely up to date. I think you and I did a Principles of Rodent Control course down in the Kildrome training room, and there were some new people on that.
That's right.
And they'll, you know, hopefully pass the exam and get their nice shiny certificate to prove all of that. They'll be okay they've got a couple of options, haven't they? They could retake the same course every 5 years to prove that they're up to date. And of course material naturally changes to reflect updates regarding stewardship and Rodent side use. And that's one mechanism to show that you're up to date. So they could retake it every 5 years. But yeah, I would be recommending to them. In fact, I think we did when we were chatting to the guys at the end of the course.
Fantastic.
Yeah, get on a Crew UK approved CPD scheme.
Nice.
And just stay up to date, really. That's going to suit a lot of people, I think. But yeah, the options are there. There's two sensible options. Users are absolutely free to pick either of those routes or whatever suits them best.
Oh, that's fair enough. Speaking of sort of how long we've been in the industry, and you've put me on the spot, so go on then, Matthew. Is your certificate in date? Are you going to have to join a CPD scheme?
I wondered if you do. It's just getting me back now. Either you're getting me back, or it's a little pat on the back to show that I've got a reasonable bit of experience. Flipping heck. 2007, I got my level 2, RSPH level 2 certificate in pest management. It was back then. I started in 2005. 2007, if I went to the point of sale January the 1st, 2026, really great qualification to have, but this is the argument behind it all. How am I proving that I've kept up to date with modern changes and requirements and labels and so on?
That's it.
I'd be turned away at the point of sale if I just had that certificate from 2007. Would I feel a bit miffed? I might be a little grumpy. I'm a pretty cheerful chap. But knowing the explanation behind it, you know, take it on the chin, support stewardship, do the right thing. I've done that many exams over the years, and my older kids are old enough that they've stopped doing exams now. So I feel like, you know, the family's moved on past exams. So I think a Crewe UK approved CPD scheme would be my way forward. And I am on one of those schemes. So I've just got to make sure I get my full points quota for this year.
That's it.
In time for 2026. It's okay me preaching and spreading the word. I've got to look after my own side of things as well.
Definitely.
And I'll definitely make sure. I might force you to do it, Mike. You can lock me in a room for 3 hours and do the full update for me. I'll get my 3 points for that. You know, I know I'm sounding quite lighthearted on a podcast, and it's relaxed and we're having a good time chatting about things. But there is that serious nature to it as well. And I'll probably mention that at the end, that, you know, if we're doing the right thing, we'll maintain the responsible use of redundant science, and we'll all have a long and fruitful career ahead of us with the right products and keep them protected and available in the arsenal. But yeah, there you go. You showed me up. 2007 it was. Still here, still going.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So I guess an important point to make is that a membership of a farm assurance scheme will not be accepted at the point of sale for the purchase of professional use rodenticides from the 1st of January 2026, which, you know, for the first time makes a bit of a level playing field for all rodenticide user groups, which is great. So I'm going to pull on the little thread that you've sort of mentioned as you were talking, that you'd be a little miffed about the fact, you know, the point of sale, despite your experience, you'd be refused a sale. You know, it's probably safe to assume there'll be people out there that might feel a similar way. What would you say to them?
Yeah, do you know what? I totally agree with that. You know, our experience of dealing with, you know, customers face to face and being really deep into the pest control industry, you know, we understand people have emotions and thoughts and feelings and so on. And, you know, when you're experienced and you've got a really good qualification from years ago, and if you did get refused at the point of sale, you know, I can imagine that wouldn't be the best day ever.
Yeah.
But I think knowing the reasons behind it, that's always the crucial thing. And, you know, not being able to show that I have kept up to date since 2007, I think that's a fair reason. It's one of the main things that these changes are being put in. And I think that's really, really important. I wouldn't feel like it would devalue my old certificate.
Okay.
That's there as a nice point in time to show my experience, and that will always remain. If I'm taking one of those routes to show that I'm up to date, it doesn't take away the hard work I've done in the past.
No.
It doesn't take away the experience. I'm bolting something on top of that. If I'm opening my site folder,
yeah,
checking my paperwork on a site when I'm doing one of the inspections, you know, the field biologist work, you know, my certificate from 2007 is in there. Fast forward to 2025, I might redo the principles of rodent control course, and I've got that full range then, experienced, qualified, proving that I'm up to date as well. And if it isn't the training course route, then I've got my membership proof for the Crewe UK approved CPD scheme. And again, that shows longevity as well as being up to date. In fact, thinking of my ID card, it certainly shows longevity. My profile picture on the ID card is but a wee boy. I know this is podcast and it's audio only, but probably a good thing the grey hairs are creeping through on me now. Eventually, it's finally happened. But yeah, I don't think it devalues things. We've got both things covered, experience plus being up to date and modern. No problems with that. So yeah, that's a that's my thoughts on it. Yeah.
Good question. Fantastic. Thank you so much for that. Yeah. Just thinking back to my CPD card, I still had hair on mine. It was all bright-eyed boy, as you said. Yeah. What has changed? Just a quick interruption to give you the all-important code to apply for your basis points for this episode through the website. The code is nontarget-cpd-378. That's all capitals, no spaces, nontarget-cpd-378. Now back to the podcast. So I guess from your point of view, you know, there's a lot of focus on the 2026 and when those strengthening measures are going to be sort of implemented. How do you see things panning out past that date and in the future?
Ooh, that is a really good question. And you're right, the focus of the industry is on being prepared, taking action in 2025 now to be ready for the changes in 2026 regarding training and certification. But yeah, moving on from that date, there is that little danger that people sort of lose a bit of focus, perhaps. If you were taking the training route and making sure you re-qualify every 5 years, there is that little danger that once the big date has gone, I'm not saying you would forget to retake your course because it would be valid for, you know, the full five years, but you sort of need to plan that in as an individual, and sort of thinking of somebody managing a team of staff members. They're going to have different points in time that they took their training, and you're going to have to manage that and look at that and make sure people get their regular training done at the right intervals. So that's the sort of thing going forwards in the future to manage that training cycle if you did choose that route. Which is an interesting one.
That is an interesting sort of interview.
The other one would be on the CPD side. Mm-hmm. There's probably a little bit of human nature. I think, you know, my own personal thing, a deadline in the diary does give me some focus, and I need to sort of remind myself, you know, don't lose that focus. To remain compliant, you're going to have to maintain that CPD membership, meeting your normal points quota, making sure you've got the 3 Crew UK rodent control content points embedded within that. That's going to need to be done every single year.
Yeah.
It's not like you can have a year off and not collect those points.
That's right.
You know, if you didn't do anything in 2026, by the time it comes through to 2027, you're not going to be compliant. You need to continue to maintain that membership of the CPD scheme, collect the 4 points, collect the 3 points, and keep going every single year, which a lot of people have been doing anyway over the years. So it's not a big change.
Yeah.
But yeah, just got to keep getting that message out, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Make sure people stick to it.
Perfect. So with all that in mind, I guess the next question would be, are you expecting the demand for training to sort of soar up over the next coming months and for the rest of 2025?
I do expect that to happen. It does take me back to 2016 when point of sale controls were first put into place under the Crew UK rodenticide stewardship regime, and there was that spike in demand for training at that point, because back in 2016 you really had to make sure it was a requirement that you had one of the Crew UK approved training and certification options to purchase and use rodenticides. So with what we saw back in 2016, I think we'll see something similar in 2025. What I hope people will do is, if you are taking the training route rather than the CPD route, then just make sure you get booked on in advance. Don't leave it until the last minute and try and cram things in at the back end of the year. What you don't want is a sort of panic buy scenario of toilet roll flying off the shelves and you know, fuel and everything else, pasta, all the things that we need. So yeah, be sensible. I can see that people will probably see a little bit more value in taking something towards the latter end of the year if you are doing that 5-year cycle, because it sort of almost lasts a bit longer, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's sensible just to get ahead of the game. And of course, I don't want to be sort of negative, but if people haven't been in a classroom for a while, maybe there's some nerves over exams, just factor in that chance that perhaps you might need a resit just to help you out.
Hmm.
And that can, of course, delay things a little bit. There's going to be that time between actually sitting the course, the exam arriving, taking the exam, waiting for results, and then after that, if you did need it, allow time for that reset as well. So just be early and sensible. That's the best thing for everybody. I wouldn't be leaving it until the last minute if it was me, me personally. So yeah,
just, nice, prepared and organised.
Yeah, definitely. That's the way to look at it.
Which every pest controller should be anyway, right?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's it.
So just to pick up on that point that you made about the demand, is there anything that Kildrum Training are doing to kind of meet those expectations and needs from the industry?
Yes, it's something we've thought about, especially based on the experience of prior stewardship changes. You know, and I do keep going back to 2016. We know that there'll be quite a high demand for courses, and we know that there's a good geographical spread that Kildrum Training provides. We run courses in various parts of the country, and we can take, you know, a lot of people on a training course. There's plenty of room in the venues that we use. But just as that sort of safeguard, and also as a convenience thing, you know, some people like to learn at their own pace, perhaps dip in and dip out. So we've been very, very busy, and I know you've taken some of the pain, Mike, and stood behind the camera, and I've done my bit as well. We've been very, very busy at Kildrum Training, re-recording our principles of rodent control training in a studio situation. And it's been looking really good, actually. You know, the footage and the talking heads, which is ourselves in the slides, are looking pretty smart. But it's not just the way it looks. We've obviously made sure to update the online training content.
That's right.
In line with the various label changes of rodenticides, the updated Crew UK Code of Best Practice. So that's an essential thing that we do. And I think it's good for people to know that there is that online training option. And because it's pre-recorded, people can dip in and dip out. You know, it's a busy life, isn't it?
Of course.
You know, the guys on the road listening to this podcast, they'll be driving from job to job.
Definitely.
Sometimes difficult to take time out from work. You know, you can view the pre-recorded online training in your own time on an evening.
Amazing.
And just doing bite-sized chunks. I think that's going to be really, really useful. And, you know, if a particular venue wasn't quite right for you or dates clashed, let's hope people can take some holiday this year.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Yeah, I mean, maybe not in August if it's a busy wasp season. Trust me to drop something into that insects on the rodenticide chat, but I can't help myself. You know, there's this chance to dip in around your other commitments with the online stuff, and I think that's going to be really helpful, especially if, you know, demand sort of peaks in certain times of the year.
Of course.
But yeah, online training is a modern thing. We've been doing it for many years now, of course.
That's right.
But it's there, ready and available to meet demand. And I feel like we're well prepared for that. So yeah, for listeners, you know, just keep your eye on the Kildrum Training website. There's lots of things going on, new things, new courses, re-recorded stuff as well. So keeping everything fresh, that's the plan.
Fantastic. It's always good to have options, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Lovely. Right. So the training route certainly seems to be covered. What about the CPD side of things?
Oh, yeah. So Kildrum Training have been doing a lot to support the CPD route as well, because that's equally valid and meets the requirements. So the 6th of February it was, we ran a webinar. It was a live webinar.
Okay.
And it was a free of charge one as well. And I'm very grateful. Melvin Knapp, our colleague down south, we know and love Melvin, and we know and love Avril Turner. And Avril's our technical manager for the Midlands as well. They really helped me out. We gave one of the presentations each on the live webinar.
Amazing.
I did the stewardship update, which was talking all about the strengthening measures, really focused on the training side of things, which is what we're doing now on this podcast. Mm-hmm. Another big part of that presentation that I gave was the updates to the Crew UK Code of Best Practice. Everything about the what is a building question, the loss of open areas and so on. And that's something we can move on to at some point. That was covered in that presentation. Melvin covered the environmental risk assessment presentation from the Crew UK website, and Avril did the burrow baiting one, the risk mitigation measures and justifications for burrow baiting. And that was the sort of first major event online, live. Hundreds of customers dialed in on that call, and
amazing.
It was good. We feel good having done it. It's a real help for the industry. Again, easily accessible, freely available. The recording is online as well. We recorded the call for people that couldn't make it.
Fantastic.
In person, live on the day.
Yeah.
And so look out for that one. And yeah, just an enjoyable thing. I think as a sort of pilot of the webinar, you see the numbers go up and up and up and up as people log on, and it's a bit unnerving.
I bet.
It's nerve-wracking when you see there are hundreds of people that have dialed in, but then you think, well, it's really, really worth it. There is that tipping point where the more people come and you think, yeah, we're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
People need this. They're taking the time to log on to listen to us, and, you know, we're providing a service. So that would be a good one for people to watch. You'll get what you need in terms of CPD support.
Fantastic.
Via that one. And yeah, I recommend that one because it's three speakers.
Mm-hmm.
So three different voices, different styles. It's quite sort of bouncy and a little bit more informal. What we've also got is I went into the studio, the Killjam studio, to record the same three presentations myself.
Brilliant.
And that's a little bit more formal
mm-hmm.
in tone. They're sort of neatly and nicely available as three separate presentations. It's the same content,
yeah,
just a slightly different delivery. And if people prefer that route, that's available as well. So look out for that on the Killjam training website. And yeah, both ways cover the same content, just in different styles. So it just means people can pick and choose how they want to attack it, really.
Fantastic. All bases covered then, eh?
Yeah.
This is it for part one. Make sure to tune in to part two, where myself and Matt continue discussing the ongoing changes and strengthening measures introduced by the Crew UK.